This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like filling out basketball brackets. Too many choices, too much noise, and no one wants a busted budget. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break down real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Make smarter financial plays today. No luck required. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
More points. Come on. Come on, boys. That's it. Watch the fiber. Soften it up. Sports.
This is Sports Sunday.
Jokic has it. Clock ticks. Gonna put one up. Jokic for the win. It's good. Jokic got it off in time.
With Rashawn Taylor and Joe Fisher.
First and goal. Mahomes flings it.
It's there. Hartman. Jackpot. Kansas City.
Hate
me or love me. You watched. That's all you could do.
And 1080.
Who do you think you are?
The Fan.
What's happening, Portland? This is not Joe Fisher. Fish is out again doing whatever Fish does when he's out on the weekends doing, you know, living his life. This is the Schulte and Schott Show on Sunday. Lots of S's, but we're here for it, man. I'm Rashawn Taylor. Behind the glass is my guy, Jordan Schulte. What's up, bro?
What's up? Lots of S's. Hopefully I don't swear.
Yeah.
I'm on no sleep, so I'm punchy today. My wife has bronchitis, so that hasn't been fun at
home. Nasty, man.
But a call out to all doctors out there. If somebody says that they need something, just give it to them. Stop thinking that people are addicts. Stop with the push to
It depends on what we're asking for.
I want some freaking cough syrup with codeine so my wife can sleep. That's all. She's got asthma.
Lean, eh?
She's had it for 30 plus years since she was about 5-6 years old. And when she gets sick, it can turn bad quickly. And one way to relieve that is so she can sleep. And if she's coughing, she can't sleep. One way she can sleep with codeine.
Yeah.
So just annoying. The doctor just ignored me yesterday.
Yeah,
so sorry I'm on one about that.
No, you're good. Because we live in that day and age where you just can't ask for codeine. And
they think you're
at it. On the up and up, right? Like there's a, you know, making purple drink or whatever those. I don't think people do that anymore, though, do they? I'm sure they still do, like down south. But I haven't heard of anybody doing lean in a long time.
I mean, I feel like this, it was like before the pandemic that kind of got cracked down on. So maybe it was like, I don't know, in some people's opinions, like in another life, because we've all lived 7 lifetimes since the pandemic. So it's been a while. But I think it was 2018, 2019 or
so. That's the craziest, like, quote unquote, like it wasn't recreational. Well, I guess they were using it recreationally, but that was the craziest thing ever. People were really just drinking cough syrup and Sprite.
That's so
and,
stupid.
And like that was taking it to the party and selling it for an S-ton, you
and
know
not,
what I mean?
And not only that, but then started whole lines of styrofoam cups because it was like the cool thing to double cup your styrofoam, like, cup with your brand logo on it,
yeah.
And you'd drink lean. And it was like, you're all ridiculous. And they ruined it for everybody, so thank you.
They ruined it for everybody, you know. Even now, you know, you have to be, like, 18 or 21 or one of those,
yep,
to buy just regular cough syrup at the store. Like, I went to go buy some, like, Tylenol PM, like, you know, cough medicine,
yeah, just
stuff
normal
like
stuff,
that.
Yeah.
Yeah, just normal, regular cough and cold stuff. And they were like, can I see your ID? I said, for what? Like, I look around. I was like, do I have any alcohol or a beer? I was like, no, well, we need an ID for cough syrup. It's like, man, it's just people are messing with regular. Stop that, y'all. If you're out there, you know, messing with regular cough syrup and stuff, like,
we literally,
it's safe to say we have a problem.
We literally can't get sick now without getting checked on, essentially. That does feel a little Big Brother-esque, you know, a little Orwellian 1984 status when you're going to the store not to grab alcohol, not to grab anything dangerous, so to speak, but just something to help you feel a little bit better so you can go to work the next day. And they're like, oh, yeah. Sir, we need to check on you for that.
Yeah.
What the hell?
I mean, yeah, it's a weird
get
space.
Get out
but
here, man.
At least, I mean, but at the same time, I'm glad they're kind of doing it low-key. But,
no, because it does. It keeps the idiots away, but it is kind of an inconvenience.
Yeah, it's super inconvenient, man. I am struggling through it, Jordan. I'm pretty tired today. I'm not going to front. Yesterday was a long day. Last week we had Coach Roy Pittman and Dustin Beindriff here in the studio. They talked about the Peninsula Superstars two-style tournament that was coming up. That was actually yesterday, and I ended up hosting the event from right around 7-something a.m. till, you know, I left a little early. I had to get some work done. And so I left it right around 5 or, you know, 5:30, somewhere around there. Either way, it was an amazing event. Shout out to Coach Pittman and all of his staff, all of the parents, everybody that was there. There were a little over 700 kids that came to compete. It was a long, long day. My son in his very first tournament got 4th. Again, he didn't win any of his matches, but he scored some points, which was an important part of the wrestling process, which I'm just kind of learning because I'm like a rookie dad here. But, man, it was an awesome, awesome day. But I would be lying to you if I told you I was super bright-eyed and bushy-tailed today. I am struggling through it, and I hate coffee. So I just kind of got to...
Do you go like caffeinated tea, like green tea at all? Anything to pick you up?
I see
every one of these hosts, or at least the younger guys like us, with like a Monster or like, which, by the way, don't drink those because the taurine in those has been linked to the colon cancer epidemic in younger people. So maybe push the, it's not like it's not like this is healthy either.
Yeah, I was just about to say, man.
But it ain't connected to colon cancer. So
caramel frappuccino with
it's
the
just
extra
coffee.
Shot of,
no, it's just coffee. Yeah. There's no caramel in it.
No,
just
yeah.
Coffee.
No, I'm not a coffee dude. I'm definitely not a Joe. Always has a Monster, but now it's like I think he's on the Mountain Dew kind of you know, Joe's a bro, so I'm not super surprised.
Yeah, golfer,
he's a golfer. Yeah, he's a golfer bro.
Love Joe,
you know. So I think the taste of energy drinks are disgusting.
Yeah. Ew, I like Red Bull. And honestly, yeah, I'll have a Monster if I can't get a Red Bull, but that's only when I'm drinking vodka at the bar.
Yeah.
Like there's a rare time other than that where I might be sipping a Red Bull, but I think that rare time is like when I can find nothing else. So
no, I've never understood I get it, you know, but things like energy drinks, and I'm not a big caffeine dude anyway. So no, I just kind of thug it out with water, you know, maybe a Gatorade Zero if I'm feeling spicy, you know.
Love me some Gatorade.
But
Glacier Freeze.
My favorite flavor, and
okay,
I think it's a goated flavor, but
what
nobody
is the flavor?
And it's Fierce Melon.
Oh, the is that the teal one?
It's like an orangish red. Yeah, it's kind of like closer to orange or something like
oh,
that.
Oh yeah, almost yeah, yeah. It's like an orange.
Yeah, it's clutch, and it is delicious. One of the best Gatorade flavors all. But now I can't be on those, so I got to drink stuff with zero sugar. First sucks. Like, it's stupid, you know, just whenever you have to go, like, you know, no sugar, zero sugar, like, whatever, like, it sucks at first. And then it's like, I couldn't drink a regular soda if I wanted to.
Now,
it's so sweet.
I mean, it is. Once you stop, it's pretty hard to. But, like, so can you do this stuff, like, with stevia or, like, the, not the
sure.
alternative, like, sweet and low, but, like,
real alternative
to sugar?
Like, monk fruit and stuff
exactly.
Like that.
Yeah,
of course.
Okay.
And even still, like, that's not bad. That can tend to be a little sweet, too, if you use too much of it and stuff. So,
oh, yeah.
Yeah,
no,
it's a nice balance. But
had maple syrup, like, sweetened cookies, and it can be sweet.
It's super crazy. Like, I end up craving stuff that people shouldn't crave. Like, oh, man, I'd love a whole bag of grapes right now. Like, what? Like, it's dumb.
That's not bad at all.
It's not bad, but it's like, man, I would never sit down and like, oh, man, you know what I could use right now? About 50 or 60 grapes.
White grapes or purple grapes.
Grapes. Who cares?
Doesn't matter. Yeah, see, I prefer purple grapes to like the green grapes or the white grapes.
Who cares, man? Just shoot them. Shoot them.
Grapes. Just give them to me.
Grapes are a little. Little sexy fruit, too.
Yeah, feed me grapes like Caesar, baby.
Feed me grapes, you know. Yeah, absolutely.
Doesn't have to be strawberries.
No, not at all. Although strawberries are I think those are the one, you know. They're red, they're, you know, so.
Yeah, this is how you seal the deal, all right? Rashad and Schultz are here to help you, like, you know, you want to get freaky. Just kidding. Well, we're talking grape and strawberry, so I figured we should preface this with, I don't know.
No, yeah. You want to get freaky, definitely don't take your girl to a Blazer game, because that will do the opposite effect and kind of have her pissed off at you for the rest of the night. And so we will talk some Portland Trail Blazers here on Sports Sunday. It's not going to be all grapes and sugar-free stuff. So we're going to talk about these Blazers who've lost 6 of their last 7.
As they should. But they still have almost 30 wins already. So
I have almost 30 wins, so they can still get to that 35 win total that I said that they could get to at the end of the season. And that will kind of hopefully start with a win against Toronto tonight at 3:00 at the Moda Center. I think it's on KATU. We will talk about the game. I think Jordan and I are going to go to that game.
Yeah, it sounds like it. That should be fun, man.
Yeah, that should be a little fun. We can talk some NFL too, man. Free agency is up and moving. Things have changed within some divisions, and we'll talk about which teams in those divisions things are going to change the most for, who things kind of stayed the same for, and who is out of their damn minds by just doing silly stuff during free agency. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about some NBA, too. Not sure what, but, you know, there's always some stuff in the NBA to talk about.
Did you see the 5 technicals that the Pistons got, like, in 1 quarter last night?
No, I missed the game. After I got home from that wrestling tournament, I was hand down.
No, that was a crazy one. Thunder beat the Pistons 113-107. Cade Cunningham got ejected. I think it was like 2 techs in 50 seconds. I mean, it was one of those where, and then
was
Dennis Schroeder.
Was one of them Isaiah Stewart?
No, it was Dennis Schroeder for 2, Cade Cunningham for 2. I believe the whole team got one as well. And then I can't remember the third player that got one. But it was like the referees were blowing quick whistles. And if you said one thing, shut up, and then 40 seconds later, you're done.
Well, that's tight.
Almost like a Rasheed Wallace, like, whack, you're out kind of a situation.
Because I definitely came to see the referee ref tonight. That's what I came to do. I didn't come to see All-Star Cade Cunningham.
Stud muffin.
Be on the floor.
Referee.
Yeah. I definitely didn't see.
Speaking of Cade Cunningham, he is him. Like, we need
He's one of those ones.
We need to start talking about the NBA with Cade Cunningham as a face of the league and being marketed internationally.
And I think you bring up a not even just Cade. I think we're experiencing a youth movement with some of the guys that are in the league now, these young bulls that are coming through and really starting to show their worth as leaders.
You look at Shangoon
in Houston. Oh, you pair that with a Jalen Green, who's also in Houston. You look at Shea Gilgeous-Alexander and, you know, and Williams, you know, the Jalen Williams there in OKC. Like, you look around the league, you know, it's the old guys at this point, with the exception of LeBron, that are, you know, at the bottom of the standings, right? You know, and with, you know, the Warriors are kind of struggling. Not struggling. They're definitely better now with that Jimmy Butler is there. But for a while, they were hovering right there around, you know, 9-10, somewhere towards the bottom of the Western Conference, towards the bottom of the play-in, you know. And now they're doing their thing. But for a while, up until they got saved by all-time great players in Luka and Jimmy Butler, like, the Lakers and the Warriors were kind of floundering, you know, a little bit. This thing in Milwaukee hasn't gone as smoothly as we would all have thought it would, although they're playing well right now in Milwaukee, not as well as I think any of us thought they would. But so why don't we just get into that now? We're talking about it. Let's talk about the NBA, the state of the NBA, the young guys. Who are you most looking forward to seeing mature in the NBA, and who's going to be the face of this new National Basketball Association? We'll talk about that right here, Sports Sunday.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient. Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
9:15 on 3:16 on 1080 The Fan. NBA is the star of the show right now, now that the NFL is wrapped up. Although the NFL is never truly wrapped up.
It still kind of owns everything.
It kind of owns the, you know, I'm not sure what the ratings were for the Combine. I don't watch them, but I'm sure they were still probably the most watched thing on TV at some point. So we'll get to the NFL because, again, it never goes off. But the NBA is something people tend to get tired of. They tend to be tired of all the three-point shooting. They're kind of tired of seeing the same people, you know, compete for the finals. But hopefully we're experiencing kind of a change of the guard because these new guys in the NBA, some of them come to play. And I think it's only a matter of time that we have Steph and we have LeBron and we have – obviously, these, you know, all-time great players in the league. But people always talk about the face of the NBA. Who's going to be the face of the NBA? And to me, it's, I mean, it's somebody that nobody's talking about ever. And I don't know why, because he may very well be the best player in the league and one of the best players, or at least top three. But I believe he's the most disrespected dude probably in the NBA's history. And that's Jason Tatum. I saw a stat the other day that said in his 7 years, he has more wins than anybody in history through their first 7 years. That's insane.
Pretty inarguable right there.
That means he's been really one of the top seeds in the conference every year since he started. He was in the playoffs as a rookie. Remember when he smashed on LeBron in that series against Cleveland?
Oh, he's been one of those players. So as soon as you got into the league, it was essentially like kind of like a Damian Lillard situation where, like, okay, it's clicking. You know that he's going to be something. I don't think you saw him. I don't know if his top was a superstar, you know, NBA person, like, or player, excuse me. Like, but people were thinking that the ceiling was very high for Jason Tatum almost immediately entering the NBA.
So first season, average 13, you know, 14, pretty solid rookie numbers. Expect you to do some. Next season, you're having 15.7. Still very solid, but you're putting up 6 rebounds. Next season, 23 and 7, 26 and 7, 26 and 8, 30 and 8, 26 and 8, 27 and 8. all a kid does is go out there and put up numbers and take his team to at least the conference finals and finally was able to put the stamp on it last year. Here's a dude that led his team in points, rebounds, assists, and still didn't get finals MVP. Like, I mean, if that's not disrespect, I understand Jaylen Brown had some amazing moments in between there where he was able to hit big shots.
It's more so the memory of those, I think.
The memory of those, but let's not forget who got you to the dance, and that was Jason Tatum. He won a championship, and what did people do? Talk about his jump shot. Talk about his weirdest jump shot was. Like, that jump shot just won him a championship, but that was the focus for him. Even still, we're talking about the face of the league. His name almost never comes up. It's Anthony Edwards, who's definitely in the conversation. It's Luka, who's only 25. It's guys like Shea. How old is Jokic? Jokic is probably closer to like 30.
No,
like 30
he's
something
a
now.
Little bit older. I think he's like right in the middle of the. He is 30. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. Okay. So I mean, of all those guys, man, I think Jason Tatum. He's the only proven winner out of any of those. Any of those guys that I named, mind you, I think he has a better team than anybody else. And you have a guy like Jaylen Brown, but who would you say should be the face of the NBA? Mind you, he's a guy who doesn't get in trouble. He's good looking, so he's pretty marketable. He dates an international star. Oh no, he dates a star in LMA. I was going to give her too much credit, but that's I'm not going to do that. But still a big enough star to where that's a thing and you guys, you know, have a child together and everything. At this point, you're an NBA champion. You're a gold medalist, even though that was, again, you talk about the disrespect. Derek White is better than you in the Olympics? Word?
I mean, it's not necessarily it's the Olympics that we're talking about. So we're talking about, like, lineups, like, fitting and you know.
And what world would Derek White ever be over Jason Tatum in any lineup? It just doesn't make sense. There's nobody that's going to say, yeah, I'm going to put my 6'4 point guard out there as opposed to my 6'8 wing who can do everything. Nah, that doesn't make sense. There was some hate going on there from Steve Kerr, if you're asking me. Like, I thought it was weird.
Well, Steve Kerr's a point guard, and you have matchups. I agree, at the same time, you can't have... I don't know. With the international style of game, I don't think Steve Kerr thought it was great to have.
What was the excuse for Tyrese Halliburton? He was also a point guard, and he was a six, like five point guard.
Still not a wing. So. You know, matches up a little bit better. I don't know if the rest of the international basketball world is as positionless as the NBA is. I think we're definitely we can go five guys of any height in the NBA now. There's really no true center to point guard unless you're like a Damian Lillard or Drew Holiday or Chris Paul. But yeah, I don't know. I'll defend Steve Kerr a little bit on this, but I hear your point.
Yeah, and at 6'8", 210, man, you can be 2, 3, 4 depending on who you're playing against. So I thought that was weird. But either way, Jason Tatum is the guy for me. I'm curious if Jordan. I'm sure you disagree, but.
I disagree only just, it's not because Jason Tatum is amazing, but I just saw Cade Cunningham less than a couple of weeks ago, and as I said to start the show, the words that were uttered out of my mouth when I saw him up close, he is him. That dude can do everything. He can create his own space. Yeah, I mean, obviously, and he fought through injury even, after all of those expectations to come and fulfill those expectations, probably more. He's averaging close to a double-double a game, almost dishing out 10 assists in the league now. Frankly, he's probably going to be one of those triple-double guys here as he develops further into his 20s. Like I said, and what I am most impressed with, because I feel like the other things that we saw from him in college, like we knew that he could pass, we knew that he was a hard-nosed player, but what we really didn't know was that he could score on this clip at an NBA level, and he absolutely can. He can create his own jumper. He can play the two-man game. He's great off the pick and roll.
Get to the bucket.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Three-pointers with guys right in your face. I saw him at a couple of those. I think he went off for 28 in Portland against, a pretty young, excited Portland team that night with Timani Kamara having a big dunk. Like it was a close game for a while. So I do think that just because I've seen him, Cade Cunningham is my guy as a pick as to why I would say that he's just the most talented young guy, and I don't know that he doesn't want it. Anthony Edwards, I've heard, not necessarily like the guy. Nobody told me that like I was like the person that was supposed to lead the NBA is what we've been hearing from Anthony Edwards lately, that's going to be leading, you know, these young players in marketing and international media and stuff like that. And it's like, Ant, do you not understand like how you rose to prominence in the playoffs last year? It's frustrating when we get these young superstars that we can market a game around, like Mike Trout, for instance, like Anthony Edwards, and they have this in common. They don't want to be superstars, apparently, which is so frustrating. Because
I think they don't want the attention. Like, Mike Trout is one of those guys. I don't know if I've ever heard Mike Trout speak. You know what I mean? Like, he's that kind of, he's that to himself, and he's that kind of an introvert.
You make $40 million a year, you're going to get the attention.
Yeah, and I think some guys just want to play. Like, Kevin Durant is one of those dudes that, he was the face of the league, but he didn't really like it. He didn't really, you know, the face of the league at a point was Kevin Durant, LeBron, Steph. Like, those three, that three-headed monster was considered, you know, the top of the pops as far as the NBA. And KD's like, man, I just want to chill. I just want to chill and hoop and smoke and play video games. That's my life. Like, outside of that, KD has no, he don't have a girlfriend. You have a brush.
It's true.
You don't have like lotion to put on. He don't care. Like, I care about hoop. I don't care about what people say.
And you see
that. I don't care about, you know, any of that stuff. And now that he's older, it's starting to come off like, oh, KD's, he's a jerk. He's this. It's like, man, no, I just don't care the way you want me to, like, about being the face of the league.
But you still see it translate to success for him. And it's kind of hard for a guy to be the face of the league. I mean, I guess. Maybe this is tongue-in-cheek because LeBron has jumped from team to team, too. But Kevin Durant has jumped even more.
He's
in
like five teams.
Exactly. More often than LeBron James. And at least LeBron has been on the same team twice in that. But Kevin Durant's just been a hard star to market because he's literally been hopping. And he, to his credit, that ability to kind of hunker down and focus on nothing but basketball has allowed him to be a really good team player. He can work with anybody. He's a great leader, and he can, I mean, seriously, Rashad, if you could show up and host a radio show with anybody, program directors in this business would value you. And that's why Kevin Durant still has value in the NBA and probably past, you know, way past his prime, he will continue to have that.
And he can shoot. And he, you know, and it's one of those things. So KD is one of those guys that, again, kind of at a point he embraced being in that spotlight. Right. I think at a point when it first came, I remember there was a commercial with, it's called Hypo for the Hyperize shoe. And it was dope.
God,
they were rapping and stuff.
Look,
that was dope. I used to love that commercial. And so he used to be in all the stuff. And, you know, I want to say Gatorade or Powerade commercials. I can't remember. But he's become less and less visible, you know, in the marketing world than he was at the beginning of his career, because now I think he just doesn't care as much. Like, it's like, yeah, I just want to hoop and get this out of the way.
Well, they
got to have guys that more than, like, Shai Gilgeous, he's into fashion and stuff like that, but again, he just likes to hoop. Like, if it's not about fashion or anything else, like,
yeah,
I don't really care. Like, I just want to be out there and play basketball. And then you got guys like Jokic, who I feel like he's being held against his will here. Like, they've got something on his family because he doesn't really, he enjoys playing, but I don't think he cares either.
Well, they don't
that stuff.
They don't have to care because, and we're going back to like my comment about the $40 million a year salary and the fact that they should care. Unfortunately, the reality is they don't have to. They're not making, I mean, you go look at the average salary in the NBA, Rashad. Michael Jordan, the best player in the league, I think it was special for him to get like a $20 million a year contract at one point from the Bulls, right? But before that, the best players are making $6, $7, $10 million a year, right? That's life-changing money. But and that was also actually not handed out nearly as often as it is now at the top of the NBA. But that's also, yeah, so guys are finding that success fewer and farther between in contracts with teams. So you necessarily, or you're not necessarily like happy sometimes that you got to go out and earn more money, but like you can. And by being a superstar in the league, that obviously gives you, you know, unlimited earning power. So,
and I think some dudes just don't.
Guys in the 90s were more willing to
I think there are a lot of dudes that, it sounds weird, and I know they care about money, but some of them don't. Like, the money that they're getting is like, this is obviously life-changing money. Like, I can hoop. Like, I don't care about making extra. There's so many superstars that probably should have more commercials and more all these things, but some, I just, I don't, That doesn't matter, you know, to me. And I'm sure if you ask a lot of players what they like to be considered a superstar, yeah. If you've been on the, you know, second fiddle for so long, then yeah, of course I would like to be in that spotlight. Until you're there and at a point you're like, yeah, I don't want to do this anymore. I don't want to be here anymore. I don't want to do these early morning shoots and these late night things on the during the off season. I'm not with it.
Not so, everybody can be Kobe.
It's a job. It's a job. You have to be on. You can't. I was watching this thing about Kobe the other on Max, which wasn't awesome, but it was okay.
It was something to watch.
Yeah, but I mean, Kobe just he created this image for himself that he was squeaky clean and didn't care about anything else but, you know, with sports and everything, and you know, we found out that wasn't necessarily true. And when we found out more about Kobe, it was like, oh, shoot. Like, and things got real invasive. I don't think if that would have been any other star or any other player in the NBA, do you think it would have got that attention that it did? Of course not. But the fact is, it was Kobe with this great image and everything. As soon as he got in trouble, it was Rap City. So I think a lot of players are seeing that, especially in this age of social media and how they do their athletes, how they do their superstars. Yeah, I don't want to be that. Anthony Edwards is in the news right now for not wanting to be father to his, you know, kid. Like, of course, the lady is a whatever you want to call it, you know, whatever, but you didn't use a condom.
It's like, bro, be smart.
It's 2025, man. Who's not using rubbers?
Like, I mean, I gave Anthony Simons the same crap for, like, it's like, bro, you literally entered the honeypot with Brandon Ingram. You decided to, like, go sleep with the same woman that has already done this to another NBA player. What the hell are you
women
doing?
Women outnumber
are
us
you stupid?
So much. By so much.
I get it. We're all ruled by down here and not up here, but stop for 5 seconds.
Just use a condom, bro.
Just, come on.
Just
man.
Use a condom.
It's
just
it is, God. And then you hear these headlines, and maybe it's not a great thing that Anthony Edwards would be the face of the NBA, because trying to deny a kid, I mean, we all
not denying, saying I'll pay child support, but I don't want no relationship.
No, you are,
with
that
this
is
kid.
Still denying. Like, that is denying the kid.
I'll acknowledge
your
that it's mine.
That's bullshit. That is, what a terrible person you
like
are.
That, so.
No, I don't need my time taken up by being a dad.
And it's going to take a lot of hit, a lot of crap for that for a long time. So I think he still can be the face, because a lot of people just don't care about that, and they think this young lady is a jump off.
Well, of course she
know,
is.
Whatever. I mean, and that
it takes
that,
two to tango.
That may very well be true, you know. But
both people can be stupid, Rashad. Not just one.
No,
right?
You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. So,
and I'm
Davis,
not smart either. Yeah. You're talking to somebody that's made some dumb decisions in his life, okay? But not that dumb.
Hey, I mean, so he's still young though. He's only a kid, you know. So he's still got some time.
He's only
to,
a multimillionaire kid.
Yeah. Man. Hey, man, it happens. I mean, that's what happens when you're good at basketball and football. When you're 17, you know you're going to be a multimillionaire. So,
but Cade, that's my vote. Yeah. You say Tatum, I say Cade. I think either. I mean, frankly, if the NBA were like billing like a Cade versus Jason Tatum 3-point contest or some kind of 1-on-1, you know, at the All-Star game, I'd be down.
Yeah.
Like screw teams.
Let's
playing each other
one.
At the All-Star game. Seriously,
let's
why not have one. A one-on-one tournament yeah. of the... I think I just saw the All-Star game. Let's have a one-on-one tournament of the best players in the league
that.
Against
they
each
wouldn't
other.
Do that.
That's stupid.
They wouldn't do
and,
that.
And yeah, you're right, because they already make too much money. There's no
be,
amount of money that would make them do it.
They'd
you're right,
exposed.
They would be exposed.
They'd be exposed.
Damn,
you
that
know,
would
one-on-one.
Be so... Wouldn't there that
guys,
be fun, though?
Because in the NBA... Absolutely. Because in the NBA, like, if you talk to people, like... They will tell you the best one-on-one players aren't necessarily the stars
yeah.
on those teams.
A lot of those guys are just spot-up shooters.
My favorite one-on-one player in the NBA probably of all time is Michael Beasley.
Ooh.
And everybody that he's ever been on a team with will tell you Michael Beasley was that guy. Like, yeah. there's nothing. He could do everything. But for whatever reason, he just never got that all that opportunity to do it consistently on an NBA floor. So, yeah, I think that would expose a lot of people. So, but I would love to see Cade Cunningham versus
like LeBron or
yeah,
like something.
That would
just,
be dope.
Oh
nice little
God.
Round robin of the All-Stars that are selected. That would be dope. So, yeah, man, I was going to say there's an All-Star coming to town for Portland today, but Scottie Barnes is... He's kind of an all-star, but he was on the team once, so
that technically counts as an all-star.
But the Blazers are going to host. I'm not even sure who's on Toronto right now. I haven't seen a Toronto game all year. So either way, the Blazers are going to host them at 3:00, and Jordan and I are going to go to the game first. Jordan has SportsCenter. If you want us to talk more sports, give me a hell yeah,
hell yeah,
yeah. Happy 3/16, everybody. Stone Cold Steve Austin. Day, I guess, something like that. You know, they're selling t-shirts for this now.
Are they? That's
WWE
cool.
is smart. They're going to make sure that they capitalize on everything that has to do with their superstars. And I want you guys to know, April 20th, I will not be here. I will not be in the studio, guys. I will be in Vegas for WrestleMania.
Ooh, and hopefully,
Stone Cold Steve Austin will be there. You know, I definitely know The Rock will be there. So I'd love to see Stone Cold come out and save the day against John Cena and Cody Rhodes. That would be awesome.
Cena as the villain.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
It's his farewell tour. Right?
Yeah, it's gonna be a great night. So man, and hopefully it'll be a great night tonight. As people can go home happy, hopefully a little tipsy, and you know, feeling good after a Blazer win.
Hell yeah.
Because tonight they host the 11th Toronto Raptors from the Eastern Conference. And honestly, these teams are probably comparable. They're probably the same. I think the Blazers have a better roster, you know, overall, but with everybody hurt. Scotty Barnes,
quote unquote.
Yeah, right. Scotty Barnes is the lone all-star that's going to be on the floor for them tonight. And I believe he's playing this evening. But who knows? It's Portland. Brandon Ingram is also an all-star. Quietly has always been one of the top players in the league.
Scotty's not on the injury report.
Okay, good. Well, not good. I mean, I would take him to be out. But the big question tonight is how do Blazers guard the length of Scotty Barnes and Brandon Ingram, especially if we know that you said Ayton's out.
I believe that, let's see, bring up the injury report here. Jabari Walker is out.
Another big.
That's kind of an effect on their shooting, because I believe he's one of the only people that's actually been hitting threes lately for the Blazers.
I know. Which is crazy.
Jabari coming off. And Anfernee Simons off the bench pretty successful lately. Anfernee Simons and Robert Williams game time decisions. So
you're talking about three of your bigs that are going to be out. And the one thing you don't need if you're Portland is to lose bigs, because – honestly, Scotty Barnes is an unorthodox player, but at the four, he can do everything. He can shoot, he can dribble past you, can finish over the top of you. Like, he's that good, you know, at this point. And so it doesn't look like, I'm not seeing anything about, yeah. So we'll see. I don't know. Like, I think the Blazers have a great opportunity to kind of right the ship. Things have not been going well for them. Losers of six of their last seven. Losers of five in a row over the last little bit. So the wheels have kind of fallen off. The Blazers desperately need this game to kind of get things back on track.
I mean, yeah, I don't really care if they win or not. I prefer them to lose. But at this point, they've given up any chance. What do they have, like a 3% chance sitting where they are in the standings to get the number one overall pick? So I've kind of given up on that. Not really caring if they win or not. I just want to see something positive from Shaden tonight. I might see Chris Boucher, because the Toronto Raptors are so injured that the former Duck probably has been getting in all season for Toronto. Probably going to get some minutes here in Oregon. For any of you Ducky fans, so that's a reason to go tonight, I guess. But if Ant's not playing, you want Scoot to get 40 minutes. You want Donovan Clingan to get in there. You want to see the core of this young Blazers team. And absolutely, essentially, that's what I want out of tonight's game. I don't care if it's a win or a loss. I want to see how Shaden, Donovan, and Scoot gel. I want to see if Chris Murray can actually do anything, because that was the 23rd overall pick in the draft, and look at what he's done so far. Pretty empty.
Trash. He's
statistics.
Not his brother.
Yeah, no, he's not. He's had one or two good games in his career. Everybody said he was a shooter just like his brother. We ain't seen it. So I hope that we can see something from him. But beyond that, like I said, just the core of young guys. Denny Avdija, of course, he had another great game last week or a couple of games ago for Portland.
He's just inconsistent. Denny Avdija's thing.
I'm like, okay with him being that way, though, because he'll, you know, on a bad night, he'll still drop 15 for you.
No, that's, I'm not, it's not even that. It's just like sometimes our three-point shooting's a little iffy, streaky. Like some days it's on, other days it's not.
Oh, yeah, the some game
we have
to?
Some days we have trouble finishing at the rim.
They
it's
shot
like little 53s things like that
against Detroit. 15 of 50. You're right. It's bad.
Yeah, so, I mean, but I think Denny Avdija, the player I keep kind of saying, he's a taller Ginobili as far as how he moves and stuff like that. The only thing is he just doesn't finish the way I feel like he probably should. But mind you, I think the same thing we're saying about Chris Murray, we have to say about Denny Avdija. Denny Avdija is a second-year player. You know, so this is really his. He was a rookie last year, right?
He's about 5 or 6 years in the league.
Is he really?
Yeah, he's a bit older than that. No, this is, I believe, his fifth season. He played like four seasons.
Fourth season, excuse me. So he's still pretty young. He's only 24. So obvious, pretty young. Like, so he's still got an opportunity to be better than we're seeing right now. And but, maybe, and I think honestly, one of the issues with the Blazers, and this is why we all thought a trade for Jeremy Grant or for anybody would have been good. There might be too many cooks in the kitchen.
So it's hard
to find your rhythm every single night when you've got six scores. And, you know, like, I think Scoot has started to kind of fall into the position of defender with Kamara. And so, right, so now Scoot is kind of your best, like, as far as your guards, you know, he's your best guard defender. And then as far as the wing, obviously Kamara is your best defender there, you know, so, and then clinging down low. So I think if you can really start building with those three right there defensively, you get three guys that really commit to the defensive end, really, really commit to the three defensive end. I think this Blazers team could be hard to stop. But the issue is, for me, I think there's just too many scores and not enough people willing to take the lead as a defender, to say, almost like on some AAU stuff. When you play AAU or when you play for the Olympics, better than that, like Kobe had to take a stance as, I'm going to be the defender. Everybody knows I can score. Everybody knows I can do that. But who's playing defense? You know, Dwight's down low, but who's stopping anybody on the perimeter? We need somebody to come with that intensity. And it sounds like, Kamara has taken that lead as like the defensive anchor for this team. But, you know, good defense leads to, you know, great offense in a lot of ways. And so if one of these guys can really commit to playing defense alongside Scoot and alongside Kamara, I think the Blazers would be hard to beat. And for a long time during that streak, we saw defense from everybody. And now I'm trying to figure out where that intensity kind of went for the team, because for that 10 of 11 game streak that they were on, the defense was great. That was the one thing they were hanging their hats on. And now it seems like they seem a little lost on D.
Yeah, and that's what we've been looking for years. It's what they needed during the Dame years. They needed a little bit more defense. And now we're seeing some of these young guys coming into their own. And it's, I would say it's maybe more luck that Temani Kamara, you know, ended up in your lap as part of that DeAndre Ayton trade from Phoenix. And now he's literally probably, you could say, one of the best defenders, not just on the Blazers, but overall in the NBA.
Oh,
he leads
sure.
the league at taking charges. He's near the top in steals. Like, he is so good at just
keying. He's going to be first team.
And he's always on the best offensive player for the other team. It's just, it's that unquestionable matchup that, you know, every night, and Temani's going to be able to hold him down. So then you look at like a team like Toronto coming into town tonight, and if you can, you know, guard RJ Barrett if he does play, if you can guard Scotty Barnes' lockdown, essentially you're then forcing everybody else, Chris Boucher and the cast of whatever characters on Toronto, to try to beat you. And I think that's where the Blazers can succeed. But to Cy's point here on the YouTube says, yes, let's win and have worse odds at a number one pick. F logic and common sense. I'm with you, Cy. It is, I know there's, what, only 19 or so games left this year, but it is imperative that the Blazers still go for the best chance of the number one pick they can. So yeah, don't win tonight, please. Just don't.
Listen, I'm not going to act like I don't hear you.
I mean, then we end up with the Chris Murrays of the world, brother. Like, sometimes they hit with Shaden, but, like, I just, the building in the draft is a necessity to Portland's success, but you can't build a number three team in the Western Conference with 15th overall picks. You just can't do it.
Well, I mean, it depends on who that 15th pick ends up being. A lot of times that number one pick, number two pick, it's not the surefire thing that you're looking for sometimes. Sometimes it don't be
it's
like
not
that.
A sure Some, thing.
Sometimes, but sometimes you end up getting a Giannis at 15. You end up getting a Devin Booker at 14. You end up walking away with the CJ McCollum at 11. Like, I mean, so these guys are out there, you know, like deeper in the lottery. So not to say that it can't happen, but there are lots of guys who have been drafted. You get a Kawhi late in the first round. Like, these guys are definitely out there. And sometimes we don't know that they end up being Kawhi. We don't know that they're going to end up being Giannis. We have no idea. And that's kind of the crapshoot of the draft. It's the lottery. There's a reason we call it a lottery. Like, it could be good. It could be bad.
Portland, like, just usually ends up with the Luke Babbitts of the world instead.
And I think that's the thing. Like, Luke Babbitt was supposed to be good, I guess.
He's a
not,
white kid, you know, out of Nevada. Like,
so white kids can hoop. What do you mean? What is Cooper Flagg?
He could shoot. Cooper Flagg
can like
hoop.
Every man. There's a white kid from Duke. Like, how many of those have we seen that if we're supposed to come to the NBA and be great? And they were. Not to say that he won't, but I'm just saying we don't know. Like, we there every time the first round pick, these are supposed to be a sure shot. And it's not that sometime. And that's just, you know, kind of the luck of the draw, I suppose. So we'll wrap up this Blazer session next, man. 3 p.m. tip-off against the Toronto Raptors. Our predictions on this game. Coming up next, we're going to wrap up the first hour right here, 1080 The Fan. 9:50 right here on The Fan. Blazers try to get things going tonight with the win against Toronto. Toronto is without most of their team, so it looks like they're playing a lot of guys from the G League. This should be a W for Portland. However,
they don't
Blazers.
They don't want it to be.
And, you know, I'm not, at this point, I just want to know what their aim is. Tell us you're tanking for the season. If that's the case, it makes sense. Tell us you're going for it and you're trying to make the play in. Say something at this point. I think we're at this weird part of the season because the truth is, as bad as they're doing, they can still make the play in. They can. Like, as bad as they are, they're not so far behind to
what,
where they can.
Four and a half out? Still?
Yeah. They can,
yikes.
Yeah, I know. That's crazy, right?
But with
10 games left, some of those games are incredibly winnable. Some of them are going to be a struggle. Toronto and Washington, those are two gimmies that you should get. Although Washington eked out a win last night. Those are ones you should get. You probably should beat Atlanta. You probably should beat Toronto again. You should definitely beat San Antonio and
Utah.
Did you
say probably should beat Atlanta? I don't know about that.
I mean.
Chris Asche and Trey Young. I don't know about that, man.
I don't know. I love Trey. Trey is my guy. Again, one of those guys that, one of the disrespected stars of the league.
He is.
But, you know, I think if they're playing, if they're really playing, then I think they can be better than Atlanta, you know, at this point. Should be a win against Chicago. Well, maybe. Yeah. Probably against Chicago, definitely against San Antonio without everybody, definitely against Utah.
But like, what's
like
it
six
all
wins.
For? What is this all for?
It depends. That depends. It depends on that's where I'm confused now. Like, what exactly are we doing? Like, at one point during the season when they were losing, just losing, straight up losing, it was clear to see what the plan was. Now
you
it's like they're
at least happy. It's like, okay, yeah, we know what they're doing.
Now
yeah,
it's like they're kind of winning, they're kind of losing, but then they kind of want to win. So now I'm just kind of confused about what exactly the plan is supposed to be as far as, because if they're tanking at this point, they're at the point in the season with the schedule, because I only mentioned the teams that I think they can beat. I didn't mention the teams that I think they were going to, you know, yeah. I don't think they're going to beat Memphis, Denver, Boston, Cleveland.
And they play a couple of those twice.
Yeah.
So they played Boston once. They play them one more time.
Yeah. So, you know, I don't think they're going to beat the Lakers, although the Lakers are probably sitting everybody at the end of the season for that one.
Depends.
It's going to be the last game of the season. I don't think, you know, they'll sit everybody. But I just want to know what they're doing. And I know they can't come out and just say, we're focused on the draft right now. Like, and that's all you have to say. Right now, we're just focused on, you know, finishing the season strong and focus on the draft. You say that lets me know that we're tanking. But if you're saying, yeah, we like, you know, the playoffs is within reach. As soon as you mention the word playoffs, you're letting us know that this is something that we're fighting for. So now I'm just a little confused. Like, they're already sitting guys. You know, we know Ayton's not going to play. He's probably going to be shut down for the rest of the season.
Most likely.
You know, just tell me what we're doing, man.
Well, I think they...
Otherwise, I won't waste my time going to these games.
I think they risk sounding kind of stupid, Rashad, like they already did last summer. They kind of tried to hint at what maybe their plan was for the 24-25 season, and that's when you had the competing comments, essentially, by Joe Cronin, and then right after him, Chauncey Billups, in which Joe said, you know what, this is a rebuilding team. This is definitely a team that's starting to look at assets and try to give them some time to get better and build for the future. Right after that, Chauncey Billups follows up with, you know, I think this is a young team that's full of a bunch of fighters and that they can actually make the playoffs. And we haven't heard anything as far like true stamp it in the ground statements from either Chauncey Billups or Joe Cronin. Obviously, Chauncey postgame is saying this team can fight. He believes this team is good. But you're asking about an organizational direction, and we haven't really heard that because I think they kind of made each other sound stupid last summer. And I wouldn't be surprised if whoever's giving advice on PR, whoever is telling the Blazers how to sound and what to say out on the mic, is saying, you know what, guys, that was pretty dumb. Let's just let the results, you know, play out and we'll let that speak for itself.
We're going to sit everybody. We're going to sit you guys.
And we're not going to say anything about it until after the season because they already looked dumb. They look dumb right now because they won 11 in a row, 10 out of 11, 11 out of 12, wherever it was. They kept themselves out of that first overall pick, or at least a shot at it, or a much bigger shot at it. So you just got to let it play out. They've already dug themselves a hole, Rashad, and I think speaking out about this more would dig a bigger hole.
No, yeah, you're right. Like it's hasn't been handled well from Joe Cronin and the Blazer staff. We're again, I think we're all just kind of in the clouds right now, and I think that's why people are kind of off the Blazers. And my question is this: we're talking a lot about getting Cooper Flagg. What happens if we don't?
I mean, there's still great players.
That's the thing.
Right now,
this whole thing that we're doing, this tanking, all this stuff, this is in hopes of getting this one guy. This isn't a draft like even like last year's to me, where there was 3, 4, 5 guys coming out to where you're like, all right, between Wembanyama, between Scoot, between my man in Charlotte,
LaMelo, and
Brandon Williams. But like, okay, like there's some guys here at the top and towards the middle of the draft that like this could be franchise altering. And so far, I think Scoot has been okay. I think Scoot's been good. I think given his position, given the number of guards that are on this team, but he showed me in his little 25 minutes that if he were a starter, Scoot could be 18 points a game, you know, a 9 assists or something like that, you know, some 2-3 steals. He's shown me that. I'm solid with Scoot like that.
Eventually, maybe, but I saw him not looking where he was throwing passes after driving to the hoop without any control. Yeah. It may just still be because he's young, but that dude is throwing passes to nobody.
But I see, I'm looking at the improvement. He's become a much better 3-point shooter all of a sudden. Much more confident 3-point shooter. I know when he's in the game, his defensive intensity isn't going to change. He's going to make things difficult for whatever guard he's guarding. And then he's still a solid, stocky, almost Darren Williams-esque kind of point guard that can bully you around and get to the rim if he really needs to. There's not a lot of guards stopping Scoot from getting to the cup. So I think given more time and as a starter or as the like lead guard, I think Scoot could be good. I think he could be really, really good. But
I still think he's more comparable to Antonio Daniels, but that is just me.
I don't know. I think that might be a little, you just don't like Scoot because Antonio Daniels is like, that's hate.
Well, because Antonio Daniels was a number 4 overall pick and they have the exact same body type. And if you go look at their highlights right next to each other, driving to the hoop, dishing it out, they look almost the same. The only difference in their game is basically the generation of basketball that we're playing in which they need guards to shoot. Back then, they didn't. And if you were, you know, like an Andre Miller type that you dished the ball out, they really, you know, they had you shoot a little bit, but your main job was to be a facilitator. And Scoot, they want him to facilitate, but they want him to shoot. And he literally looks like Antonio Daniels with the ability, not actual talent, but the ability by the coach given to him to shoot.
And I think that's the point I was making earlier about the draft.
Okay.
Because in college, Antonio Daniels was amazing.
He was.
And really, he had a solid NBA career. He wasn't, you know, he was never the starter. I really think that crossover from Allen Iverson.
He was a serviceable, you know, backup point guard. Yeah.
But I think he had a solid career. But again, that's kind of my point about the draft. Like, we don't know. Like, we don't know what's going to translate. We thought Christian Laettner was going to be again, you're coming from all this winning at Duke. You're doing all the stuff. You're beating these same guys. And what happened? Your teammate Grant Hill was the star. Like, and that's kind of the way it is sometimes. Like, we would never know when these guys come to the league. And so that's my big thing. Let's say they do suck for Cooper Flagg and he gets there and he's essentially, I don't know, he ends up being Chet Holmgren.
I know, but you know, better to have loved and lost, Rashad, than to have not loved at all. And just to have a chance at that top pick, just to have a chance, I would have rather the Blazers drafted Greg Oden and it went down as it did, and everybody's disappointed. We find out, you know, that his body's not as good as it was.
We would have kept Kevin Durant anyway.
Well, but
the truth is, if you look at Kevin Durant's trajectory and what he did with his career, he wasn't staying here in Portland anyway. So you'd had him for 5-6 years.
Exactly.
And shook.
Yeah. No. So going back and looking at that, I would rather them have that opportunity and screw it up, or things go wrong, or Greg Oden's body screws up on him. Unfortunately, you know,
you want to go through that heartbreak again?
I would rather have that chance than not have it at all. That heartbreak, go back to it. It is better to have loved and lost than to have not loved at all. So, yes, I would rather suffer that heartbreak as a Trailblazers fan with them in the conversation. If they got the number one overall pick this offseason, all the ESPN pundits talking about the young core plus a Cooper flag, instead of us having to sit here like trying to boost ourselves up on the thought of possible success from, like, I'd say, like, okay-level talent in the NBA, not star-level talent. Anthony Simons is good. He's not great.
I disagree.
And that's what we build all of our hope on usually here in Portland as Blazers fans. It's just building up this good player, not great player, thinking that he's going to be a five-time All-Star when he never is.
I disagree.
And they just never get there.
I disagree. I think he is one of those guys. I think when, as a starter, I think it's the same thing with Dame. Dame was just in a position here in the West to where for a long time I thought he would never make an All-Star team. And just because there's so many great guards in the West, and now that they don't go by point guard, two guard, they just point to both the best guard, it's like good guys are getting left out. How many snubs were there this year for the All-Star game? Trae Young was snubbed. Seriously? Leads the league in assists and averages like almost like 28 a game? He didn't make it?
Yeah.
It's just one of those things. Like, so there's too many guys, not enough spaces, you know, for the All-Star game. But the Blazers, they'll test out. We'll figure out what they're doing tonight. Today will give us a great indication of where the season goes, because I believe they should beat Toronto. I believe without all the Toronto's, you know, great players, it should be a relatively easy night for the Blazers. So this game will tell us a lot about how the rest of the season goes. Want to move on to football?
Yeah, gosh, we talk a lot of basketball. Let's go NFL, baby.
Well, NFL is currently in their free agency stage. There has been a lot of changes around the league, and we'll talk about some of those when we come back for the second hour, Sports Sunday, 1080 The Fan.
If you're thinking about GLP-1s for weight loss, listen up. You must make sure you're maintaining your muscle mass while you're losing weight. Otherwise, you can slow your metabolism and regain the weight. Omisid, a natural superfood protein shake, has been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. It optimizes and supercharges your metabolism so you can lose weight easily. Use Omisid with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at omised.com. That's AlmaSed.com.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knicks Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knicks, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show, Early Wedge, on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. Five times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.